with Dr. Catherine Evans, who is the senior lecturer in music at the University of Texas in Dallas. And today we are going to talk about how music makes you smarter. So Dr. Evans, could you help me understand, how does music make you smart?
Okay, so I've been teaching music to college students for about 40 years on and off. I also taught mathematics at one time. And I began to become interested in why the students in our music courses were also very good students academically. They had really high GPAs, they had high GPAs in high school, they had high GPAs in college, they had really high SAT scores. And I knew there was evidence that students who practice music, particularly those who do it from an early age, did better in school. They just were better students. And so when I started to think about what to write my dissertation on, I was really curious as to why music makes people smarter. We know it does. It's just the truth. You can look at SAT scores, you can ask the Educational Testing Service, and they will tell you that students who took music in high school do better. They just do better. And so when I started to think about how we were going to get at this, I decided that I would ask the students themselves. So there's a research method called phenomenology, where you ask people to describe the experiences that they've had. And so we put together a list of really interesting questions, and we did a large Qualtrics survey here at the University of Texas at Dallas, which was an interesting place to do it because we don't offer a music degree at UT Dallas. We do offer an art performance degree, but we have 1,000 plus students taking music every semester who are not music majors. They're neuroscience majors and accounting majors and chemistry majors, and a lot of them are pre-med. And a lot of them had been playing their instrument or singing in a choir for a very long time. And so they came to us with a lot of musical experience, a lot of different musical experiences, and here they were at the university, sort of a captive audience for me to ask some important questions about what music does and why music seems to be one of the topics that helps students get better grades and have higher academic skills than some students who have not done music. And so over the course of about 2 years, I sent out a lot of surveys to a lot of students. We did a lot of interviews, and we got a lot of information back from these students. And then I spent about a year analyzing what they had said to get some idea about the specifics of why music makes you smarter. Not just that it does, but what is it about music that actually makes you smarter?
That is very interesting. I feel like I grew up in a background where I was always discouraged to like study subjects like music and art. My family always focused on like the math and the science. And I'm pretty sure that's how it is for a lot of different people. Coming from like Indian or Pakistani background, their parents are like, oh, you know, music is something that, you know, doesn't help you in any way. But now here we're discussing a fact that music actually makes your brain healthier. Basically, it might even help you understand problems in a different way than before. So is that also kind of some of the things that you looked at?
What we found out, we looked at 6 major areas, and we'll only talk about a few of them, but one of the things that we were interested in studying college students as opposed to looking at high school students is we wanted to remove the parental effect. Uh-huh. A lot of people had said to us, well, it's because their parents make them study and make them practice their, you know, their instrument, and that the parent is the one sort of causing all of this to happen because they're kind of encouraging the student to do these things. And of course, once students get to college, that effect pretty much falls away. A lot of our students live here on campus. They don't live at home. And so we wanted to kind of take that piece out of it and look at things like studying music theory, getting into the flow experience, learning discipline, delayed gratification, things like that, that music really does teach you. And also some of the scientific and mathematical principles that underlie music also help students in things like early math. Here's a really good example. When you learn to play music as a child or at any stage, the first thing you learn is whole notes, half notes, quarter notes, eighth notes. Mm-hmm. Different lengths and dividing in half. Well, that's fractions.
Right.
So a lot of our students said, well, when they got to fractions in, you know, fourth grade or whenever, I already knew all that stuff because I learned it in music about fractions. I already knew what that meant. I already knew that concept. Music theory is the study of the underlying principles in music. It exists in every culture, by the way, not just Western culture. And it's kind of how a piece of music is built. You look at the larger overall structure, you then look at a smaller part of that structure, and in music you can actually bring it down and down and down until you get to just a single measure even. Turns out doing music theory and practicing music, you do that a lot. You take the whole thing and you keep breaking it down into pieces until you have it broken down into what we call manageable pieces. It's a technique called segmenting. Well, it turns out that's how you learn academic things too.
Right.
If you're going to learn biochemistry, the first thing you're going to do is take the subject as a whole, and then you're going to start breaking it into pieces, and then you're going to take each one of those pieces and break it into smaller pieces and smaller pieces and smaller pieces until you get something manageable that you can actually study. In music, you break it all down, but then you have to put it all back together. Uh-huh. Because to do the whole piece of music, you got to put everything back together. Well, that's how you learn stuff. That's a learning technique that people learn when they learn to play an instrument or sing, participate in a choir, orchestra, band. That's the same technique you need in chemistry and neuroscience and biology and pretty much everything you study. You think about the way academics is structured, it's all about taking a big subject and breaking it down into small parts.
On our last conversation, I know we talked a little bit about your background in math and how music and how you combine music and math together.
Mm-hmm.
So between now and then, I did some homework and I found out that, and I don't know if I'm the only one that doesn't know, but I didn't know that Beethoven actually couldn't hear. And the reason why he wasn't able to produce, he was able to produce great music was because his use of math. Like he understood, you know, because there's a lot of patterns and mathematics behind the design of music. Mm-hmm. I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're correct. Beethoven actually lost his hearing rather late in life, so the majority of his compositions he could still hear. There is another famous musician, not as famous as Beethoven, named Dvorak,
okay.
who actually was actually blind and deaf both, who wrote beautiful music. So that's true to an extent. I think there are a lot of connections between mathematics and music. I remember when I studied mathematics first.
I see.
And I have a master's degree, and at about the time I was doing my master's degree in mathematics, I decided to go do my master's degree in music. I found music theory and principles really, really simple, because basically they're a set of rules. That's what mathematics is. It's a set of rules, and it's just a set of rules that you then operate with. You say, okay, these are the rules, and that's how you add and subtract and divide or do integral calculus. It's still just a set of rules. And music theory is the same thing. Here are the rules, and here's how we compose a piece of music. So there were such similarities there, and they're both kind of analytical, abstract subjects. So I found music theory to be really easy because I'd already done all of the study in mathematics. And I find most of our students here at UTD who are science majors, what we call the STEM topics, science, technology, engineering, mathematics, it's interesting. We teach music theory here. It's not required. And yet those classes fill up every semester because the students really like doing that because they like doing that analytical process of taking things apart and figuring out how they work according to a set of what are, in fact, mathematical rules.
It is really nice to have a class that combines like two different fields together.
Mm-hmm.
And this is certainly something that you're really passionate about because you're a founder of the CDASH program.
Mm-hmm.
Would you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, there are two things I'm doing right now that are real, they're really on that topic. CDASH is a project that I'm working on with Dr. Molina here in Art Technology. Curriculum Development in the Arts, Sciences, and Humanities, CDASH. And we're looking at a broad range of curriculum. We're trying to figure out how people teach courses that do combine the arts and the sciences. And the other thing I did is I taught this past spring a course called Music, Science, and Technology. And I'm going to teach that again in the fall.
Okay.
And when I offered it last year, I was very surprised that it closed within like 2 days of registration.
And what kind of students are registering for it? Like,
you know, it's interesting because some of them are art and technology students here in the ATEC program, but some of them are neuroscience and some of them are physics, and then some of them are in history and literature in the arts and humanities area. So they really kind of come from all across the university.
Yeah.
But they all have an interest in what I call music and science, and technology. And you can break it down even further than that, music and anthropology, music and physics, music kind of goes with everything. And in fact, the first game we play in class is what I call the music and game.
Okay.
And I ask them to think of examples of music and biology or music and history or music and all these different connections. And music is a universal. Everybody listens to music. All children sing. It's just a natural thing for children to do. Everybody makes music at some point in their life. Doesn't mean they play the violin at Carnegie Hall, but music is a part of everybody's life. Everybody listens to music. Right. It's very unusual to ever meet a person who doesn't listen to music. So it's kind of this universal language thing that we all do, and it turns out it integrates to pretty much everything else.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when you mention this, I'm always curious about, there are certain majors where you're only allowed to take like one extracurriculum, you know, yep. something that's different. Yep. And I'm not sure if people like that have the opportunity. Like for my program, I mean, I had plenty of opportunities to take very unique courses, mm-hmm. and which is why I end up coming from neuroscience to here in arts and technology, because I was like, I'm going to explore, and I found that it makes sense, you know, for me. I unfortunately didn't know about your class because I would have taken it, because I think I could have definitely opened and expanded my brain in that direction, because honestly, I've never had any kind of music classes. And now that I'm discovering the impact that music has on the brain, I'm very curious about the subject, which is why we're having this conversation, mm-hmm. because I'm, you know, looking forward to digging more into how, you know, because there's research that it improves your memory, you know, and we had a conversation last time how Alzheimer's patients are impacted by music,
right.
you know, and yeah. that was very interesting. So I think we talked about veterans.
one of the things, there's been a study out now that music has some profound effects on the brain. And it used to be thought that as children grow up and acquire language at a very early age and acquire physical abilities, you know, as there's toddlers and then they learn to read, et cetera, that by the time you got to 5 or 6, the brain was kind of frozen. That's an old belief. And now we believe more in what's called brain plasticity, where that the things you do on a regular basis can actually kind of rewire the brain. And now they've done studies of musicians, and in fact, musicians' brains, if you look at fMRIs, which is a technique of scanning the brain during activity, if you look at their brains while they're doing music, all kinds of stuff is going on. And then you look at non-musicians, their brains just look different. They just don't light up in as many areas. This study that you mentioned was about Alzheimer's patients, and what they did is they used iPods, very simple device, and they asked family members what kind of music the patient listened to when they were young, like in their 20s. Mm-hmm. Now, these are patients, for the most part, who had lost a lot of cognitive skills. Mm-hmm. They were unable to speak, most of them, or if they could, they could only speak simple words, one or two words, but not sentences. Mm. Many of them didn't recognize family members anymore. My mother had Alzheimer's, so I was really familiar with that. And so what they did is they got family members to tell them what music did they listen to when they were young, put a playlist on an iPod, and then had them listen to it in the morning. And the minute the playlist would start, they would sing along, they would hum along with the tune, and then when they finished listening to the playlist, suddenly they could speak in sentences. Their cognitive abilities had gone way up. They recognized family members. They could tell you about specific songs and people. And, oh, I was listening to that in a dance hall with my girlfriend, Susie.
That,
you know, that
incredible.
Kind of thing. Yeah, and it was this amazing effect. And family members were just blown away by this, because suddenly here they now had a line of communication.
Yeah.
To somebody who really couldn't communicate up to that point. And somehow the music triggered something in their brains
yeah.
and in their memories that suddenly allowed them to be much more cognitive.
That's incredible.
And communicate better. Now, it turns out the effect is temporary,
mm-hmm.
and it tends to wear off over time. But so then what they did is they just had them listen to it every morning,
yeah.
and they got a lot more abilities to communicate with the rest of the people around them. I think that's an amazing effect. It's pretty clear that that doing music, and partly probably because of the repetition of practice,
mm-hmm.
Memorization's a big thing in music. You have to have memorization techniques that actually can then apply to other things you're trying to memorize. Something is going on where
yeah.
music is altering the brain.
So not only is music improving the brain of young babies, you know, because now they're saying that if your child is listening to certain types of music or, you know, or partaking in instruments or learning about music, that improves their cognition, it improves their memory skills, you know, math, science, anything. But then we're also talking about people that are older, and even music is still good for their brain because it's part of the neuroplasticity that's happening in the brain. It's
some of these patients get up and start dancing.
Wow.
Who have been in a wheelchair for months, right? I mean, it's just an amazing effect because it takes them back to that time when their brain was healthy.
Right.
When all of those pathways were working fine.
Yeah.
And it's almost like transporting them back to that time in their life.
Exactly.
And you can see the joy on their faces.
Wow.
As they're listening to this music. And so to me, it's an astonishing effect, but not completely unexpected. Hmm. There's something about music that people connect to that's different than anything else.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think I want to close on this note because I think you really put it together well.
Thank you.
I'm excited for C-Dash, and I'm looking forward to hear more about that. So thank you so much, Doctor. And I appreciate it.
And music does make you smarter.
And music
really
does make you smarter.
It really does.
Thank you.